and society. Each week I interview a guest who is closely involved in mentoring, be it in business, education, government, or the nonprofit sector. This podcast is produced in association with the University of Massachusetts at Boston's Center for Evidence-Based Mentoring. By way of introduction, I'm the author of The Pocket Mentor, Insider Tips from America's Most Successful People. The Pocket Mentor provides common sense lessons on life for young adults, as well as the parents, teachers, coaches, counselors, and mentors who guide them. Lewis Carroll, the author of Alice in Wonderland, famously said, "If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there." As a college instructor and mentor in a high school mentoring program, I speak with many young adults who really don't know where they want to go, much less how to get there. To be successful in life, our youth need a plan to uncover their dreams, desires, and goals, a plan to get them where they want to go. Today's guest, Andy Mecca, is uniquely qualified to discuss guiding youth to achievement. He's a national leader in youth mentoring and the author of 12 books about youth development, drug prevention, and mentoring young adults, including a book called A Plan for Life, Why Every Young Person Should Have a Life Plan, which incidentally has a foreword written by Star Wars filmmaker George Lucas. Mecca is the president of the California Mentor Foundation and is the co-founder and chief inspiration officer for the Life Plan Institute, which helps adolescents and young adults plan to thrive now and in the future. In addition, he has been a drug treatment professional for more than 40 years and served as California's drug czar from 1991 to 1998, and he's also the chairman of the California Task Force on Self-Esteem. Welcome to Mentoring Today, Andy.
Thanks, Vince. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. Why should our listeners care about mentoring youth?
Well, unequivocally and now with science, we know that it's the most potent youth development asset strategy that we're aware of. For decades, we have relied on pamphlets talking to kids, slogans like Just Say No, only to find the results very wanting. In fact, we did some outcome studies back in the late 80s and 90s that demonstrated that the federal and state governments combined had invested over $500 billion in these type of programs, and so frequently the results would not be what they wanted, and they decided, oh, we just need to put more money into that. But in the meta-analysis that we did, we discovered a few elegant studies that had been done on mentoring and found the results more than impressive. And subsequently, when we built the California Mentor Initiative as a comprehensive youth development strategies to prevent teen pregnancy, school dropout, alcohol and drug abuse, and kids joining gangs, the outcome results in terms of recruiting 500,000 new mentors and then studying the results of the kids that had a mentor. While the kids had a mentor, the vast majority, over 90%, stayed in school, didn't join a gang, didn't become a teen parent, and didn't abuse drugs. Pretty impressive.
Very interesting. Huh. How did you get involved in mentoring? What got you interested in the first place?
Well, it actually started as a mentor, personally, early on. When I was in high school and then in college, I coached youth sports and then got connected to, when I got into college, got connected to a local mentoring effort that was basically kind of a new effort. It wasn't a formal like Big Brothers Big Sisters program, but it was an effort to work in one of the more challenged communities there in San Diego and get matched with a young person. And I fell in love with it. I often thought to myself, God, I think I'm getting more out of this than the young person is. And so I always had an affinity, just sort of being other-oriented, but also I just loved the mentoring efforts. And, of course, then, as I grew into the addictions world and, you know, was very keen on, you know, moving upstream to look and see why are all these kids, despite what we know, still getting so seriously involved with alcohol and drugs. And you know, none of the things that we were doing was working. And then, you know, doing that study and discovering that mentoring did look very successful. And in fact, now know that it is very successful. I just, again, I can't speak more emphatically about it is nothing short of us being involved with our kids will get the results that we want. I mean, it's not heavy lifting. It's a modest time commitment, but it means showing up regularly, being inspiring, being supportive, listening a lot, because a lot of these kids don't have a caring adult in their lives.
Right. Right. How did Life Plan grow out of this and the Life Plan Institute that you got started?
Well, when I finished my tour of duty with Governor Wilson as state drug czar, one of the things that we had done and that I think Pete was recognized around the country for his heroic leadership to really sit, brought all of the players with billions of dollars of portfolio of state and federal money to the table and said, Andy, you chair this group, and you find out what is a comprehensive youth development strategy that cuts across all of these. You know, at that time, it was a bunch of silos of different activities for cigarette cessation and teen pregnancy cessation, or you know, prevention and drug prevention. And he got all the players at the same table, and we did a meta-analysis of you know what we were doing, what was working, and at the end of the day, it was mentoring that we wanted to grow as an opportunity for young people. So we built the architecture, and Dr. Jim Cooler and a team implemented it. I believe Jim was a guest of yours not too long ago.
Right, he was.
But it was called the California Mentor Initiative, and the governor invited all state employees, a quarter of a million of them. He gave them an hour a week off if they would match it with an hour of their own time to become a mentor. And after 8 years of building, launching, and running this effort, we recruited 500,000 new mentors for young people in the most challenged communities throughout California. It got the attention of General Colin Powell, who chaired the presidential summit in Philadelphia in '96, and General Powell showcased this, and then he sat down with me along with the governor and said, Andy, you've got to continue this work, because I was finishing up my tour of duty there in Sacramento. And they encouraged me to start a foundation, and they enlisted some help for me to be able to do that. And then George Lucas, whose kids were going to a school I was involved with, he was really keen on this because he talked about his father. He was his father, but he was also a mentor.
Yes.
And I remember asking George what he thought the key ingredient of mentoring was, especially his father's role in his own life. And he said he held aspirations for me. He literally believed in my dream of being a filmmaker, and yeah, he held those aspirations. And he just said, you can do it. You've got to see it first, believe it, have some support, get a good education. And George has always been a huge supporter of our efforts to grow mentoring opportunities, because he basically feels that if you don't provide a good mentor, the kids are going to find a bad one somewhere on one of those blocks.
It's a good point. Yeah.
So anyways, I sat down, and Governor Wilson is still on the founding board of trustees for the California Mentor Foundation. And from that, the initial wave of work was continuing to grow mentoring opportunities for kids. And I would do a survey every couple of years seeing how mentoring was working. And the outcomes were so impressive, Vince. I mean, this is science-based youth development work now. We know unequivocally with science that mentoring has the results we had always dreamed of. And the biggest challenge is obviously recruiting enough mentors. In Compton, right there in L.A., you have 46,000 kids on a list. They've literally signed up and say, I want a mentor, and there aren't enough mentors. Mm-hmm. So I went out and started interviewing people who would come in. for any of your listeners, mentoring recruitment is so retail. I mean, literally, you and I being mentors, we'll take a couple of our friends to an event at the end of the school year or whatever in hopes
right.
that they will be inspired by the young people's stories and sign up to be a mentor. Well,
yes.
A lot of, you know, as I was doing these studies about how the outcomes, the program directors were, was something brand new that had never gotten up into the top three outcomes. And the number one thing, it wasn't money, it wasn't new training, it was, Andy, we are having the hardest time recruiting mentors. So I interviewed 100 people who had gone to events, it took me about 3 months, and asked them the most pregnant question, why did you say no to becoming a mentor? And universally the response was, I didn't feel like I had enough of a game plan. And, you know, I didn't feel competent, you know, of interacting with the young person. I want a game plan. Well, as I drilled down a little deeper, that game plan became life plan. I want this kid to understand financial literacy. I want them to have, you know, an idea of who they are. I want them to have fluency in expressing who they are and what their dreams are. Mm-hmm. And that led to then crafting a book called the original one, Life Plan.
Yes.
And then we built a web based asset for mentors to access around literacies and giving them some sound bites and some also, you know, qualified programs. I mean, it was the first time anybody had made an effort to list the qualified programs in that person's area. But then LifePlan continued to grow, and a friend of mine walked in the office one day, sold his business, wanted to volunteer, and he had a group called Root Learning in Ohio who took my book, and he underwrote this whole thing and built the 9 learning modules that now encompass Life Plan. And it's a journey of choices, decisions, and consequences. And these kids who go through these 9 modules become fluent in expressing who they are, what their dreams are, what their long-term, short-term goals are, who their board of directors is, Vince, and that's going to help them.
I love that concept.
And for any young person to differentiate themselves and being able to do that in 20 to 30 seconds is pretty darn impressive. And just in their applications for their first job, applying to high schools and colleges, it has been... We've hit a vein here, a really positive vein of gold in youth development. It's not rocket science, and I wish I could take credit. I did write the book, but it's become a full-blown, enriched youth development program, and it really works.
Right. Well, I've got copies of I've got the Life Plan guide for the mentor and the one for the mentee, and they're really, really good materials. And as a mentor in San Diego, these are tools that you could readily use with your mentee. And it gives you some structure and direction and things to talk about and things to reach for. And, you know, 9 modules to work through. You know, sometimes when I talk to mentors, they're wondering, what do you talk to your mentee about? Well, you know, if you have the life plan in front of you, that's not a question anymore. You know, you have a bunch of things, structured lessons and modules that you can work on, you know, week after week, and it's a tremendous resource.
Some of the, you know, we always work hard to develop intended consequences, you know, good outcomes, but sometimes the unintended consequences are also enormously positive. And one of the things with Life Plan, there's a rule within Life Plan that you allow the young person to express themselves 80% of the time. So you're sort of prompting with questions. That's why the Jesuits are such great educators, because that was their whole mode of education, the Socratic method. Pose the question and let the student or the mentee you know, noodle over it, express their feelings and whatever, and come to some conclusions. But some of the spontaneous ignition in this dialogue to grow their life plan has led to the kids going and investigating time literacy. Now, when's the last time you ever heard anybody talk about time? Well, once a young person has a life plan, they become so much more receptive to growing assets that will help them succeed. financial literacy. But this time literacy has been one of the new ones that sort of has emerged. And one of the young people was brilliant in expressing themselves. They came, they Googled it and they came back. And the first thing they said was, do you realize time is the one common denominator amongst humanity? We all have time. It's how we treat it. And they base, I mean, and once the cat's out of the bag, these kids, I mean, frequently have said, Andy, you've ruined my life. And I said, why? Because now you can't wing it? Because once they, for instance, one of the exercise events, it's one of my favorites, is they take a deck of cards that have 50 values on them. And they're blank ones in case there's one they have that's not already expressed. But, you know, things like love and family and determination and tolerance and inclusion and all these values, they have to go through and choose their top three. And then they have to keep a journal because then they have to learn about the difference between a value and a behavior. You and I both know, walking their talk. So this one young person had family as their number one priority. So they're keeping a journal. They have to, once a day, take one of the choices that they're faced with. And this young person's choice was Friday evening going to the movies with family and two siblings or going to the mall to hang out with friends. And then they're thinking, oh, I've got to report out to Andy on Monday what you know my choices were for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Oh, family is my top value. Oh, so anyways, they went to the movies. So they're telling, regaling the story in class of their value and the choice they were faced with and their decision. And I said, so how did that all work out? Well, actually, I loved it, and we're now going to do it as a family tradition once a month, so I don't have to worry about it every week or this. But it was really fun, and I really had a good time with my little brothers. So, and of course, she's the one that said, and you've ruined my life, Andy. And I said, because now you've got to be a little more thoughtful, slow down, and think about, does this enhance my life plan? Is it in concert with my values? And or am I just, you know, BSing myself?
Yes, right. Well, you know, research indicates that about one in three children, 16 million from the research, are going to go through life, going to reach adulthood without ever having a mentor.
Or a caring adult. A caring adult.
A caring adult. In your experience, as you look out at the landscape today, are there one or two trends that are promising in addressing or reversing these numbers?
Well, I think your podcast is illustrative of the world's changing. In 1990, we did a mini study to see frequency of expression of mentoring within mainstream literature, newspapers, magazines, and whatever. And it was absent. Right. It was a rare situation. Mentor and mentoring has become mainstream in our daily lexicon. It's rare I don't hear somebody talking about a mentoring effort, relationship, opportunity in every day. So I think there is a quiet movement that has blossomed in America that just hasn't been celebrated yet by, say, a big-time mainstream publication like the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Time Magazine. But you have people, brilliant people, true leaders like a Colin Powell, who talk about it and express his encouragement to people to pay attention to mentoring. His own story is so potent. I mean, he grew up in Harlem, and his grandmother was his mentor. And she coached him to walk home directly and knew the exact path because she always said, Colin, you can be whomever you want to be and succeed in anything if you study hard, work hard, and stay out of trouble. And, I mean, a lot of his friends that he grew up with and neighbors either went to prison or died and were gangbangers and whatever. But he attributes to her and her holding aspirations for him. And that story is legion now of people who have stepped forward, become involved in the young person's life. I'm just waiting for whatever that tipping point is that galvanizes a portrait that is reported on, because that's how the civil rights movement, the free speech movement, the women's movement all became tagged movements by the media. I think there is a mentoring movement in America. It just hasn't been captured by a prestigious enough media publication.
Yes.
And, you know, it hasn't been a special on 66 or 60 Minutes or 2020 or one of those type of programs. And it's due. Maybe listening to your podcast, Vince, your podcast just might be the tipping point that reaches out and somebody has said, you know what, maybe we should pay closer attention to this.
But it's percolating beneath the surface, so the media's gaze.
And remember, a lot of the barriers to mentoring are being broken down. Life Plan offers the content of the conversation, so you're not alone and you know left to your own devices.
Yes.
There are networks now. There are conferences that you know address the competency and how to recruit, how to match, how to support a mentoring relationship. Because the worst thing that can happen, and you know this, being involved in a mentoring program, is that for a kid who desperately wants a mentor, has one, and then the mentor drops out on them. That
right.
is, and you got to have a support system and be prepared to step in there and bring that back, because that's just saying to the young person, see, nobody really does care about me.
Right.
And so it is the most potent youth development strategy we have. If I were president of the United States, I'd be talking about it daily and educating and inviting American citizens to step forward to grow America one child at a time by being a mentor.
Hmm. Well, that would be powerful if you could get someone at the top of the pyramid to say that or do that, encourage that. Like Kennedy saying, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, what can you do for your country?
And I'm a product of that because he inspired me.
Right.
And I worked for his brother, Bobby. And I just, there was an ethos of in those days of selflessness. I mean, think about the Peace Corps. Think about being so other-oriented. And today we've become a little more self-centered, narcissistic, and there's nothing that grows you, I think, spiritually and emotionally yourself than being involved with someone else in a positive way. And I think it could grow the spirit of America and what we're about if we would put pedal to the metal and ensure that every young person who needs one and wants one has access to a mentor.
I think one of the stumbling blocks, especially in recruitment efforts that I've been involved in, one of the stumbling blocks I hear is that potential mentors feel, well, you know, it's a lot of give, 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 and there's not much receiving, you know, what's in it for me? And I think that one of the secrets of mentoring is that there really is a lot of what's in it for you. It's very rewarding, but I don't think many people know that going in or know it going up front.
Well, and as you know, mentor recruitment is retail. And you and I, being mentors, will bring a couple friends to an event at the end of the year in hopes they'll be inspired by the young people's stories.
Right.
But it's so often it's the mentor story of literally saying, oh my, I think I got out of this more than the young person did, because
right.
it gave them a sense of relevance and connection. And, you know, a lot of people are feeling isolated and they're alone and kind of left to their own devices, both adults and kids.
Mm.
And this mentoring relationship properly, you know, again, the mentor properly trained, thoughtfully matched with a young person. For instance, gender specificity really is better as far as outcomes are. It's you know, an imperfect world, so sometimes you don't have enough men, because right now 75% of mentors are women.
That's all right.
And that speaks volumes to, again, women being more inclusive, I think more courageous, and you know, there's a little competition here. I think the guys need to get it going. And also
right.
in communities of color, it's really hard, and I've worked with the faith community to reach out to successful people of color who have left the community to come
right.
back and mentor the kids. And
right.
it just is more and more challenging. There's no barrier, though, when there is a will. And we know unequivocally that mentoring works. So it's not like we're hopeful it works. It works. It's really, really great for the kid and for the mentor. And it's the only thing that's missing is enough people stepping forward and saying, I'm going to be part of this movement.
You know, I've mentioned this in previous podcasts, but about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I wrote a book and I interviewed in the process of that book 50 distinguished Americans. And one of my standard questions was, did you have a mentor growing up? And to my surprise, 49 out of the 50 said that they had one or more mentors and that having a mentor contributed to their career success as well as their personal happiness. That
wow.
was a real, real, it was like getting hit over the head. That these are, I'm talking about people who are Nobel laureates, Pulitzer Prize winners, people of major accomplishment. And it just drove home to me that if you want to be more successful in life, it helps to have a mentor. And so that really got me interested in the mentorship movement.
Well, and I would guess that every one of those 50 would also say their greatest learning curve was when they had failed or hit a speed bump. And one of the greatest things that a mentor has the opportunity to do with a young person is teach them how to navigate the speed bumps in life, because stuff happens, and it's how
right.
we respond to it that will define us, our character, and a mentor, a caring adult, because rather than trying to coddle kids from not experiencing hardship or speed bumps and whatever, they happen. They happen universally. But how to navigate them, and remember that your greatest learning curve will come out of how you've navigated these challenges in life.
One of my favorite quotes is by Thurgood Marshall, who said, none of us got here solely by pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. We got here because someone bent down and helped us pick up our boots. And for my money, that's precisely what a mentor does. He helps
Spot
us.
On.
Or she helps us bend down and pick up our boots and get where we mean to go, where we're meant to go. We only have about 3 minutes left, Andy, and the time just goes so fast when I'm talking to you. In a minute, can you give me some idea of where mentoring goes from here for you or for those you're involved with?
I say a little prayer every night, Vince, that that in my lifetime, before I pass on to my next journey, every young person in this country who needs one and wants one will have a mentor. And I think just speaking that truth is my kind of clarion to getting up every day and purposefully being engaged to grow that opportunity for young people. I think there is a movement. I think it needs a light shone on it. Your podcast is a great, great start. And you might think it's a small piece of the pie. I think it could be a large one. It could be the tipping point. And if nothing else, anybody listening to this who hasn't become a mentor, please give it a try.
Great. Great final thought, Andy. Today we've been speaking with Andy Mecca, the president of the California Mentor Foundation. If you would like to learn more about Andy, visit lifeplaninstitute.org. That's one word, lifeplaninstitute.org, or call them at 559-733-6869. That's 559-733-6869. Thank you very much, Andy. I really enjoyed our conversation today.
Thank you, Vince.
Join us next time when we bring you another guest from the world of mentoring. This has been Vince Reardon with Mentoring Today.